This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour, Jones and Keefe is brought to you by Shaw's. It's our market, perfecting the art of fresh.
This is Jones and Keefe.
Will Minnesota trade Joe Ryan?
Nah, I don't think so. It lines up with Crochet last year. Same sort of deal, right? So you go back to last trade deadline. The Red Sox tried to get Crochet. A lot of teams tried to get Crochet. The asking price was like, yeah, give us Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony and some other people. I mean, this is the way of the world when it comes to these sort of pitchers at the trade deadline. Brendan Gomes of the Dodgers, get ready for the sick brag drop again.
Yeah.
He was on the podcast, and he said, he told me, he's like, in the offseason, our goal, because they had this shock and awe offseason, like, our goal is to get to the trade deadline where we don't need anything because it's 3X for what you're going to have to pay normally. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about a guy like Joe Ryan, that's what we're dealing with. Is we look at the Garrett Crochet deal and how much they gave up. Well, if they traded for Garrett Crochet at the deadline a few months earlier, it would have been more than that, and that's what you're talking about.
Jones and Keefe, right now on WEEI.
Happy Friday.
All right, welcome into a Friday edition of Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Jones off today. He'll be back on Monday. Billy Lanny has slid over. You just heard Rob Bradford from our show yesterday talking about the trade deadline, which is now less than 2 weeks away. Who may or may not be available. But I do got to start real quick, Bill. Nobody likes a complainer.
Okay.
Nobody likes a complainer.
On a Friday.
I know. Well,
starting off a Friday with a complaint.
So this is what happened. So it is Friday. So I said, you know what? It's going to be a little treat yourself Friday.
I'm in.
I'm going to get myself a smoothie. I'm going to start the day with a smoothie.
All right.
I'm not going to.
Sick brag, bro.
I'm not going to. And they're expensive. And so this is part of the problem. So I got a smoothie today.
Doesn't sound like you at all.
Money bags.
No, I know. Well, it's treat yourself Friday, Nick. And so I got one of these ones. It's like peanut butter. It even has like espresso in it. So it's sort of like a coffee type of thing. And I've gotten it from this place before, and it's excellent. It was so watery. And it wasn't because it was left out. It's not like one of those situations where I ordered ahead and it was like waiting for me. But I got it, and it was like a big, giant glass of milk. And yeah. I was like, this is not a smoothie.
Bro, it wasn't thick enough.
Not at all. And I feel like there's... As far as disappointments go, that's right up there.
So too much ice, you think, in the blender?
It could have been.
Yeah.
Because it was just like watered down. I was like, this is so upsetting.
Was it bad or
yes.
Was it?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, of course, because you're expecting like
Did you finish it? Do you still have it with you?
Oh, I drank the whole thing.
Oh, thank you.
I drank the whole thing.
You paid for it.
And I was like 100%, but that's the thing. I'm like, it's expensive enough where you're like, all right, now I'm kind of mad about this. And I don't know. I know it's hot out there, but it's not. Today wasn't one of those like 100-degree days.
No, today was like the first like comfortable day in a few days.
Yeah. I didn't leave it in the sun.
And right. It wasn't like you placed the order and they were expecting you to pick it up at
no,
this
I literally
time
like the person handed it to me. So it wasn't like it was sitting out anywhere in like the tray like for the to go or anything.
That person just had really warm hands.
Yeah, I was like, oh, you melted the whole thing. So I took like a couple sips. So like, this isn't getting any better. And then I drank it incredibly fast, hoping that it would be better.
Pinched your nose.
Yeah, it's like, terrible.
That bad.
So that was a tough start. It was a tough
That's
start.
That's a tough way to start a Friday.
Brutal.
Especially like, did you plan this last night? Was that one of those things where
like, I'm going to get a smoothie tomorrow.
Like, you woke, like, at some point last night, you're like, you know, I'm going to treat myself to a smoothie.
Yes. And nice. I'm going to start the weekend off on a high note.
Right. You went to bed thinking this morning was going to be awesome.
I could taste it.
Yeah, right.
The night before, I'm like, yeah, this is
I know. That's
good.
Disappointing.
Sucks. So anyway, that's where my head's at. Hopefully everybody else is having a better start to their Friday and to their weekend. It's not as hot. The heat wave, I think, is broke, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to, the humidity is supposed to kick up a little bit on Sunday, but I think the next couple days is supposed to be really nice, bright, and comfortable.
Okay. All right. I like that. You can stream WEEI anytime on the Odyssey app as well as the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. Red Sox start the second half today. Day game. We have day baseball, so we will take you right up until the pregame. Sox and Cubs from Wrigley Field.
Right, not only day baseball from Wrigley.
Yes.
Wrigley should only play day games.
How it's meant to
That's
be.
That's one of my takes I've had.
It's a good take. Get rid of the lights.
Get rid of night games in Chicago.
Only day games.
It's just you look at Chicago, and when there's a night game, if there's like an ESPN national game, you're like, it just doesn't feel right.
No. Get Brian Bay would have to stay away. The only day games? It's like I could never pitch there. No thanks. Cubs are good. Cubs have third best record in baseball. They got my guy Kyle Tucker. They got Pete Crow Armstrong, a couple of all-stars in the outfield. So they're a really good team. This is a test. So the Red Sox, one of the things that people were trying to like poke holes in is, the schedule. The schedule wasn't very tough. They did sweep the Rays. They've won 10 in a row. Yeah, the Rockies were in there, but so be it. Still 10 straight wins is impressive. So will they be able to keep that up? I don't think they're going to, you know, win out. But if they can keep stacking some of these series on top of each other, trade deadline less than 2 weeks away, prove that they are a team worth investing in. You got Chicago for three, Philadelphia for three, Dodgers for three. That's nine tough games.
Yep.
But if they go 5-4 over that stretch, I think everybody would take
They'll take it, absolutely. And I can't remember who had it up there, but the Red Sox have one of the toughest schedules for the second half.
Makes sense.
Top two, top three team, I think, when it comes to a tough schedule. So, yeah. And we know Cora kind of struggles a little bit in the second half
big
lately.
Time. Yeah,
I think
big
it's
time.
An easy way to put it. So excited to get it started and hope they can keep some momentum. It's tough to keep momentum after a 4-day break.
I know. That's what I wonder is like they couldn't have been hotter. Seidan Rafaela, Trevor Story, the guy pitching today, Lucas Giolito, the guy pitching tomorrow, Brian Bayo, all couldn't have been hotter going into the break. Crochet and Bregman both decided to take the break off and say, hey, thanks for the acknowledgement for the All-Star game, but we're going to not play so we can be rested and ready to go. So they're in a good spot. The schedule is tough. They got Houston a couple of times coming up. But again, I don't think they're a team that you just look at the schedule and say, oh, the tough team's coming up, they're in trouble, and like they'll definitely beat the bad teams. That wasn't really their MO for the first half of the season. They struggled against the Angels. They only took 4 out of 7 against the Chicago White Sox. I think the same thing with the Orioles, too, right? Like, they didn't dominate the bad teams, but then they have a really good record against the Rays. They got a really good record against the Yankees. You know, nobody gives them credit for the series over the Reds. The Reds have 50 wins. Right. Like, they're a winning team. So I like where they're at. I am curious, though, what this trade deadline could be, because I was really excited. We had the list of starting pitchers that might be on the move, and we were going over that late last week. And then when we had Bradford on yesterday, he's like, the asking price.
I felt like he shot a lot of it down.
Yeah,
he burst that bubble on Joe Ryan.
Yes, 100%.
But I feel like anybody else we mentioned, he was just kind of like, meh.
No. He's like, do you want Charlie Morton? I was like,
no.
I don't. Well, I want Charlie Morton. Not now. Not in 2025. So that's what I want to see, is how aggressive will Breslow be? Because I'm sure John Henry is less interested in the prospects that are being traded than he would be, all right, what's the final line? Like, how much money am I spending on this team?
Right.
So if they have to offer another prospect in order to get, say, Nathan Eovaldi back, all right, like, I'll do that.
Right, because, again, is Eovaldi going to take it out of your top five prospects?
I don't think so.
You know what I mean? It's a prospect, but it's not, an elite one.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. I also think they should be willing to be super aggressive when it comes to the farm system, because Roman Anthony's 21 years old. He's already on your major league roster. Marcelo Meyer's 22. He's already on your major league roster. You got Seidan Rafaela is young. Bayo is. You got a bunch of young guys that are already on this team. So if you have to dip into single A and double A, okay. So yeah, go ahead. Go for it. They should be aggressive. I wonder if the struggles of the last few years should motivate them.
Should.
It's hard to tell with John Henry. It's hard to tell what he wants to do.
Because they're just so plain personalities. They don't talk with any real excitement.
No.
They don't project excitement or aggressiveness. It's just kind of like, well, these are what the numbers are, and this is what we're going to do. So as a fan, it's tough to get on board to be like, all right, these guys are going to do this.
And we've heard it before, too. Like, we've heard, you know, Sam Kennedy comes on the station every couple of weeks on with Greg's show, and you know, he maintains they're just as interested in winning now as they have been before. But you're like, we can kind of see. Like, it's very clear. Like, that's not the case. You know, I don't think anybody was going to be as into it as they were in 03, 04. Like, that's understandable. But you do have a team that is worth investing in. Mm-hmm. I mean, they proved it. They were teetering. And after the Devers trade, you know, it took them a minute. They won their first game after Devers, but then they had the losing streak. And you're like, oh, man, like this season's kind of falling apart on us.
Right.
And then they went on this 10-game heater. And so can they keep that up, specifically with a guy like Lucas Giolito, who's on the mound today, who, whether they add a starting pitcher or not, is going to have to be really important. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got a 3.36 ERA. 6-1.
6-1.
Yeah, the guy's been fantastic this year. He had that one horrible outing. When was that? Back in early June. He gave up 7 earned runs in an inning and 2/3. And since then, Nick or Joe. Since then, he's given up 3 total runs in, I think it's like 6 starts.
He's been lights out.
He's been better than that. Like he's been incredible. So I guess we went over this a little bit yesterday. You know, which guys are kind of playing over expectations, and are they going to be able to do that the rest of the year? He is one of those guys. Like he for sure is.
Right, like right behind Chapman, he might be like the poster boy for that.
Yeah, you're like, okay, this guy's killing it. Can he keep it up? And I wonder if part of Breslow's, you know, thought process for the deadline is, yeah, this is great, but we can't really rely on it. Mm-hmm. And maybe even the same with Bayo, and that's why it's even more important to go out and get a number two starter. But once again, going back to what Bradford said, is if last year at this time, Garrett Crochet trade conversations were for Anthony and Meyer, like, are teams really serious about trading their guys, or are they just... Because you would think, all right, if trade them now, or you wait till the offseason, they're like, well, you get more in the offseason. Well, clearly not. Mm-hmm. It ended up just being for, I mean, not just, but it was Kyle Teal and a few other prospects. So I guess, you know, what's the motivation for Minnesota to trade a Joe Ryan, or what's the motivation for the Diamondbacks to trade some of their starters or whatever else it might be? I guess.
Right. Would the Twins add at the deadline knowing that we have 2 more years of Joe Ryan, so we have to put something around him? Or do you just ship him off and be like, all right, let's start fresh?
Right. Yeah, because, I mean, they're out of it, but. So you look at it for the Twins. They are 11.5 out of the division. So that ship has sailed. But for the wild
that
card.
That division's garbage, by the way.
It's
too.
Just like, the Tigers.
Right.
I think they were the only division where, what is it? The Tigers were the only team in June that had more than 10 wins in that division.
I think that's, yeah. They're also the only division in baseball that has one team with a winning record. It's just the Tigers.
And so, last year, wasn't it the opposite, where they all were decent?
Well, not the White Sox, but I think the other four
were.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Beat up on the White Sox.
Yeah, the other White Sox aren't even really a team.
27 games out.
27 games out.
The White Sox.
Yeah, it's terrible. So the Twins are 4 games out of a wild card spot. They're 2 games under 500. So you'd think that they would be a seller. They haven't been linked to Jaron Duran, but Jaron Duran's name keeps popping up in all these different trade rumors.
It's always San Diego.
Like, we want him. You're like, okay, relax.
Another report out of San Diego. Let me guess, Duran.
Yeah. You want Duran? Oh, is that right? You want Jaron Duran? So I saw another one. This is from CBS Sports. It was from a gentleman I'm unfamiliar with. Apologies to him. But he was throwing a lot of different trade possibilities out there. And he had one, another Jaron Duran one, but not to San Diego, but to Cleveland for Emmanuel Class A.
Oof.
I got the free jersey. So if they do trade for Class A, I will wear that jersey, obviously, every day. However,
every day.
I will never take it off. But Jaron Duran, for any – forget Class A, for example. Like, so he's a reliever for the Guardians. Would you trade Jaron Duran for a reliever?
No.
No way in hell.
And now after Bradford yesterday – hesitant to trade Durant just based on how he said
how the locker room
would react to getting rid of Durant.
Yeah.
I never thought twice about it, you know, but he's there. He sees how these guys interact with each other. The fact that he's like, dude, if you get rid of Durant, there's going to be an issue.
He's like, you need damage control.
Right. Any momentum that you've built from life after Devers, you're just going to remove it by getting based on how Rob felt about it.
And Rob also agreed with us that starting pitching more important than relief pitching.
Yeah.
But yet a lot of these national writers, when they're looking at fringe playoff teams or wild card teams and they're saying what they need to add, the Red Sox are linked to a lot of relievers. Like Ryan Helsley was one of them. Now Class A, who, by the way, this year was not an all-star. The previous 3 years he was. He had 42 saves, led the league, 44 saves, led the league, 47 saves, led the league. Last year he had a .61 ERA and finished third in the Cy Young. The guy is filthy. This year he's not as good, but a 2.91 ERA, righty, throws gas, two times Rolaids relief man.
Of course.
I guess they call it now the Rivera relief man, but not here. Not on this show. But no, that's another one. Like I would reject that. And I've now gone to the point where I don't even think I'm going to trade Durant for anything. Because like what you were saying, like I think if you want to upgrade the team, you still can. You don't have to trade Durant. But it does lead into a pretty interesting question that is going to have to be answered at some point by the Red Sox, and that is, what do you do with all your outfielders for 2026 and beyond? You know, like where do you go with Rafaela, Anthony, Durant, Abreu? I think for the rest of this year, let Cora figure it out.
Mm.
But you can't have all four of those guys on the roster, can you? Like starting next year?
No, no. I mean, I guess it all depends if how you want to use your DH.
Yeah.
You know, so that at least gives you a fourth body to work with and mix into a rotation of let this guy get some rest while this guy takes some hacks and stuff like that. So you can at least limit it to four if you want to keep the DH between those positions.
Yeah, it's interesting because Cora had the comment about Roman Anthony's 21 years old. He can't be a DH right now.
Right.
But then you have Seydon Rafaela, who is a Gold Glove center fielder. You have Willier Abreu, who's a Gold Glove right fielder. And then Jaron Duran isn't great defensively, but he'd be a strange DH, right? Like, he's never even done that. Like, you kind of want him in the field too, I guess. But I don't know.
But that's the thing. We also come from a time where the DH were big,
just
hulking.
Just hosses. I guess you could have Duran.
And it's just different how it is now with baseball where it's, I hate using the term positionless, where it's, you get these little guys that can DH. It's not what it used to be. You used to, back in the day when we grew up, all your power came from the foul lines. It was the corners of each position, you know? And now you see, like, again, Durant as a DH, it doesn't feel right. Even Yoshida as a DH doesn't feel
weird.
Right.
He's a slap hitter.
Right.
So, well, that's another guy that you still have on the roster for now, too, which is sort of creating not necessarily a log jam, but just you have players that want to and maybe should be in the lineup every day that can't be. I think we just stumbled onto something. Maybe Durant should be the DH. That way he doesn't have to worry about people yelling at him in the outfield. So you take that part of it out, and then you just let him work on hitting and running.
Give him something to focus on.
I think we figured it out. I think we cracked
the case. Just solved the problem.
Yep.
What a way to start the second half. There's your answer.
Durant, DH. Nailed it. You can join the program today, 617-779-7937. Fitzy's going to join us today at high noon. We lead you into Red Sox pregame as the Sox open up the second half this afternoon. We'll probably get in the lineup at some point soon, too, Nick. We'll get the lineup ready. But it is Sox and Cubs today. First pitch, 2:20 here on WEEI. We'll get into what they should be doing between now and the deadline. Can Alex Cora keep making all the players happy on this team? They have a lot of guys that probably should be playing. They can't all play every day. How can he juggle the lineup from here through the rest of the season unless they make a trade? Right now, though, it's Billy Lanny with What's Trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox in their 10-game winning streak return from the All-Star break this afternoon to begin a 3-game series against the Cubs in Chicago. First pitch from Wrigley is at 2:20. You can hear the call of the game with Will Fleming and Mike Monaco right here on 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Style Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Lucas Giolito will get the start for the Sox against the Cubs' Colin Ray. Don't forget to tune into the Mass Mutual Red Sox pregame show with Joe Weil at 1:20. The Boston Celtics improved to 3-1 in Summer League action after last night's 87-78 win over the Los Angeles Lakers. Jordan Walsh led Celtics scorers with 17 points. This season's Summer League schedule will continue on Sunday against the Atlanta Hawks. According to Sham Sharani, a 9-time NBA All-Star, Damian Lillard is finalizing a 3-year $42 million contract to return to the Portland Trailblazers. The deal is expected to include a player option in 27-28 and a no-trade clause, according to Adam Schefter. Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker T.J. Watt has become the highest-paid non-quarterback in NFL history for the second time after reaching an agreement on a three-year, $123 million contract extension, including $108 million fully guaranteed. NFLPA Executive Director Lloyd Howell Jr. has resigned, ending his two-year stint as the leader of the union. And tomorrow night, the New England Revolution host Orlando City SC. Kickoff from Gillette Stadium is at 7:30. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Now, Jones and Keefe
on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
It's Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Jones off again today. He will be back on Monday. Billy Lanny has slid over, and the Red Sox will try to make it 11 straight wins as they take on the Chicago Cubs this afternoon. Two out of three day games, which is nice.
Really?
Yeah, I know you like the day game, especially in Wrigley, but tonight and this afternoon and Sunday.
Yeah, day, night, day, Bayo at night.
Perfect. It's really lined up nicely.
I think it falls in their favor pretty well.
Chicago is good. Chicago leads the NL Central. They're 57-39, which by my count, yeah, that's right. By my count, the third best record in baseball, I believe. So, yeah, they're no joke. if you think the Red Sox have been beating bad teams, this is certainly not one of them. In fact, run differential, if you're interested in that stat, Cubs have the best run differential in baseball. They got Kyle Tucker, MVP candidate, not going to win, but MVP candidate, Pete Crow Armstrong. So it should be a fun series. And the Red Sox also are lined up pretty good with Giolito, Bayo, Garrett Crochet.
Yep.
Giving him a little extra time off, so he'll pitch on Sunday. The ideal Red Sox lineup and something that Cora kind of has to deal with now through the end of the season, especially if they keep all their guys. Forget about like 1 through 9, but just like position-wise. I think the left side of the infield is pretty set. It's Bregman and it's Story. Bregman getting his feet back under him. I don't think he's going to DH much in the second half. He can, but I think he'll be the third baseman. Story will be the shortstop. As much as we wanted to shoehorn Meyer in there, I think that's set. It's going to be Story and Bregman. Narvaez is obviously the catcher. First base is where it seems like they're going with the platoon.
A small platoon.
Yeah, Toro.
Two-man platoon.
Romy. Like, Romy maybe should be playing all the time until he cools off, not just against lefties. But that's one where maybe that becomes a little bit of a need or sort of a, like, hey, let's take a look at possible trade candidates at first base. Mm. But right now it's probably Toro and Romy. I think Marcelo Meyer should just play second base.
Yeah,
he's good in the field. Yep. He's willing to play other spots. He was doing it a little bit in the minors before he got called up. He's been doing it a little bit in the majors already. And now that Bregman's going to be back, I know he probably will sit against some of the lefties. Sox do play a lefty tomorrow, so we'll see what Cora has in mind for that. But I'd probably play Meyer as much as I can at second base.
Wouldn't argue that.
What do you do in the outfield? So I got Duran, Rafael, Willie, or Abreu on most games, and then I think – I know Cora said he doesn't want to do it because he's young, but Roman Anthony probably DHing.
Yeah, so
more
that
often
that would
not.
Probably be like one of another two man platoon where you can right field, but either Roman or Willie, and then the other one DHs.
That's what I'm thinking. And then you still have Yoshida. And the problem, so this is one of the issues that Cora is going to run into is Yoshida, Willie Abreu, Roman Anthony, Jaron Duran. You're still very lefty centric,
right?
And so how do you, like, against the lefty, you can only sit so many of them. Against the righty, you can only get so many of them in the lineup.
So play so many.
So that's one where you're like, I wonder if you're Alex Cora, you're sort of debating on, all right, is this something that can withstand for the rest of the season? Now, the problem is if you trade any of these guys, it feels like someone's going to get hurt, and then you're back with, like, David Hamilton and Nick Sogard.
Right, and you only have 2 weeks to figure it out.
That's right.
That's the tough part about it. Yeah. It's like you had the time off, you were running hot, and now it's like, okay, well, we got 2 weeks to, do we move somebody? Do we stay pat,
So they really, outside of losing 10 straight, I feel like they've already put themselves in a spot where it's not even up for debate. Like they need to add to the team.
Of course.
And they did that with this winning streak that they're currently on. We'll see where they're at right now, we'll see where they're at come trade deadline time, which is July 31st, coming up now, less than 2 weeks from now. They are 8 games over 500. They are the second wildcard team, 1 game behind the Yankees and 1 game up on the Mariners, who are third, and they're 2.5 up on Tampa.
Mm.
So, they're in a pretty great spot as it sits. I don't think, you go back a month ago, I don't think anybody would have predicted they would be here. They were kind of toiling around. We were complaining about how they ran the bases. We were complaining about how they fielded and everything else.
It was ugly.
We played that several times.
It was 5 times a week.
It was
pretty ugly.
It was not looking good. And then they've completely turned things around. And you can't even say it was just Bregman coming back, because Bregman didn't come back until the very, very end. Like, they had started to turn around even before that. But now it seems like, I don't know, like, what's their biggest weakness right now? And maybe I'm just getting, like, caught up in the 10-game winning streak. That's possible.
Mm-hmm.
But is there something that you look at and you're like, oh, this is what they need to clean up?
I don't know if it's necessary clean up or just kind of organize more than anything. Again, it comes back to you're not going to turn down another starter. If you can get a quality 100%. Starter, you're not going to complain, do anything wrong about that. And then, like, with outfielders, like you said, there's depth. Depth isn't a bad thing. It gets a little tough to figure out because, there's only so many positions for so many players.
Yeah, yeah.
But there isn't anything that really jumps out to me as a major issue for them.
They're still bad defensively. I think they're still, like, second worst in errors.
Nick is the defensive stat guy. Here comes defensive war from the top row.
But, like, it hasn't come back to bite him like it did in the past.
No, but if you're going to pick something, it's a defense.
No, that's fair.
Like,
but I
throw the ball all around against the Rockies, but you could do that against the Rockies.
So I feel like I agree overall that the defense this season has been bad, but they also haven't had like who they want out there a ton, right? I mean, Bregman missed 40-something games. So if you have the lineup that we were just talking about, and if Meyer kind of takes the second base, which I think he can, Story's playing pretty good at short, Bregman at third, your outfield's pretty good. Like, now they need to play well, but there's nobody that sticks out. Right. Like, oh, you got that guy playing that position?
No real sore thumb. Things that jump out to me a lot is the outfield is not hitting the cutoff man.
they've thrown the ball around.
Right, and that's kind of like day one baseball stuff.
Right.
But even then, that's just kind of more of a nitpick than a worry.
Yeah, no, that's true. But I think, you know, Anthony and Duran aren't great defensively. But, like, Rafaela is. Willie Abreu is. The left side of the infield is. Narvaez is. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right. No team has, like, nine guys where you're like, all gold glove candidates.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So I think they're going to be okay there.
Duran
think,
struggles, but he can cover so much area.
Yeah, he's perplexing in the outfield. You know? He is, because he'll have some terrible play. I mean, going back a couple of years ago, he had some really bad plays in the outfield. But even this year, he doesn't look fully comfortable. It's funny, you forget that he was like a infielder coming up. Like, he was an infielder in college. They moved him to the outfield. He's really fast, so it makes up for a lot of things. But I'm more worried about him. Not worried. I'm more focused on him regaining his form at the plate.
Yeah.
And if he hits like he did last year in the second half, then like this offense is going to be even scarier.
Yep.
You know, because this the winning streak, they piled up the runs against Washington and Colorado. They didn't score a lot of runs against Tampa Bay. They didn't need to because they pitched
well.
So well. Do you have more faith in the hitting in the second half or the pitching in the second half? Let's say they make no significant moves and it's just the current
this
roster.
This is what the team
have.
Is. This is what they have right now.
What do you
now?
Feel better about?
I think I feel better about the offense.
Yeah.
I think I feel better about the offense more so because I'm so hopeful for the Myers, for the Anthonys.
Yep.
You know, so it's giving me something to look forward to. So I think that's probably why I'm more focused, more worried about the pitching than I am the offense.
Yeah, I think I kind of like their lineup. And I know a lot of people's fear was when they traded Devers, like, oh, there goes your home run guy. There goes your RBI machine. And it's like, no, they got guys that could step up. And they have, I don't think Story and Rafaela are going to be able to stay like as hot as they are now. But it's a balanced lineup. You have guys literally fighting to get into the lineup. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you. I think that's a little bit better because I have more questions about, say, Giolito and whoever is the fourth and fifth starter as of right now than anything else.
Right. Walker Buehler, it can only go up.
It can't
right?
get
that's,
much worse.
That's, I can't, I,
hopefully we are at rock bottom.
Correct.
For
right,
Walker Buehler.
Right. I don't want to be. Exactly. Hopefully it goes up from here because I don't want to think about it getting worse for him.
It can always get worse.
Of course.
This guy. Thanks, Nick. Yeah, you can have a really watery
reality.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Start your day off with a watery smoothie and see how the rest of your day goes.
I don't know how I'm going to bounce back or recover.
So would you?
Think I should get a refund, but that's just me.
Now, would you?
Well, you drank it.
What if you leave here?
I did drink the whole thing.
No, sir, could you maybe not drink the whole thing before you complain?
Like the guy with the breakfast in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Yeah. I mean a refund. There was just crumbs on the plate.
Like,
now,
will you get
the
whole steak?
Oh, yeah.
Like, did you have to eat the whole steak before you complain?
Will you get another one on the way home to balance it out?
No.
Or will you get some kind of treat on the way home?
I do deserve a treat. We'll see how the show goes.
Gotcha.
But I feel like I do deserve a little bit of a treat, but no.
I mean, there's got to be some kind of new Frosty or something you got to try out, right? There's got to be some kind of fast food new thing you got to try.
Actually, my wife sent me this one that is, it looks a little too crazy for me. Let me find out what it is. It's got like all kinds of stuff in it. Oh, here we go.
I saw the world losing their mind because the snack wrap was back. The McDonald's.
Yeah. Oh, and you get two of them.
Oh, do you get two of them? I thought there were just two different kinds. I thought
think
there was...
two show up. You're like, give me the snack wrap meal or whatever. It's like two snack wraps.
Nice. All right.
That happened the other day. This is from a ice cream place, I think, near us. It's called the Beat the Heat with Fishbowl Slushy Sundae. A refreshing treat with Nerds, blue raspberry slushy, whipped cream, and Swedish fish. Even on that?
Like, it sounds delicious, but like my teeth are chattering thinking of the sweetness of it.
I'm not a huge whipped cream guy. I feel like for as bad as it is for you, it doesn't add enough to it.
Well, you're supposed to actually I thought you just like huff the top of it. people actually put this on stuff?
Just do whippets.
Oh, yeah. People actually put whipped cream on
they
stuff?
They put it on stuff.
Really?
They put it on this slushy, apparently, which feels odd.
Is there a picture of it? Like, is it a legitimate fishbowl? Yeah. That's pretty cool looking.
Yeah.
It looks, yeah. Because like,
it's the blue, so it looks like water. And then you have the fish having a little swim.
Yeah, you got the rocks on the bottom.
I don't know. Is that supposed to be like an iceberg maybe? And then, yeah, the rocks. Yeah, like the coral, the nerds.
Presentation-wise, I dig it.
Yeah, it looks
good. The thought of drinking it makes my teeth chatter from the sugar.
I agree. It would also melt very fast.
Oh, yeah, so you have to drink it quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Then that means brain freeze.
I think little CC would be all over this, though.
Oh, I mean, any young
kid
would
be. We'll report back to you.
You guys can split one.
Yeah, that's true. It's like I'm just waiting for her to be like, are you done? You done? She's like, no, I'm not. I'm still good.
There's some nerds at the bottom you can have.
Yeah, like, I'll take them.
Soggy nerds at the bottom of the drink.
Text line says, for next year, get rid of Story and Yoshida, put Marcelo Meyer at short and Rafaela at second. See, I think Rafaela is probably just going to be your center fielder.
Yeah.
I like the fact that he can play second base, and I'm fine with him having to play second base this year because of the logjam. But next year, I don't think you need – figure out your moves. Maybe it is move on from Story. I'm fine with that. But Rafaela should just play center
field. Being versatile is obviously a good quality, but when you have a guy who plays center field as well as he does, there's no need to change that.
I would just leave it. You can join the show today at 617-779-7937. Same number to text into the show as well. You can watch on Twitch or on YouTube. Of course, it's a top five Friday, Billy's first crack at a top five. And in honor of I Know What You Did Last Summer in theaters tonight, Lanny and I are going to do our top five 90s horror movies.
90s.
90s. People are going to have a hard time. You didn't put The Shining. We're doing 90s horror movies.
I forgot Night of the Living Dead.
We're doing that next.
No Psycho?
WEEI. WEEI. New England Sports Original.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
Yeah, mom will make a go delirious like Eddie Murphy. I got more growing pains than Maggie. Cause homie snagged me to take the dunk out of the bag.
Top 5 Friday here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Billy Lanny sitting in for Jones today. And in honor of I Know What You Did Last Summer, in theaters, the reboot requel. Not really sure what they're calling it. Probably a requel, right, Nick?
Probably a requel, yeah.
Sort of like Scream, because it's the same title
Scream,
as the
Halloween,
first one.
All the new ones.
Yeah.
Every new horror movie.
It's confusing. Movies have the exact same name. But anyway, JLH is in it. Freddie Prinze is in it.
What are you waiting for, huh?
What would the sports book Rhode Island odds be that she says that in the movie? -110?
A heavy favorite.
Yeah, yeah. -200?
-10,000.
This is one of those things.
Does she scream it or just say it?
I think she might just say it.
She might just
on the phone. She'll say it to him on the phone. Yeah. That's kind of Scream's more of a phone thing.
They stole everything else from Scream. It's the same writer as Scream, so they might as well.
Yeah, let's just change the weapon. This guy uses a hook.
He does. He's an old fisherman.
Yeah.
He's got a slicker. He got his hat. He's good. He's rain battle tested. All right, so we're doing top five, and I'm not sure this movie's necessarily going to even make the list, but we shall see. I've not seen Lanny's list. He has not seen my list. We'll tweet these out and put them on Instagram as well, at Jones and Keefe, and you can let us know if you agree, disagree, and what your top five would be as well. So 90s horror movies. They had to have been released in the year 1990 all the way up to 99. We're not accepting anything else.
January 1, 90, December 31st, 99.
Before Wiggy left, he was trying to give us some of his.
All 80s.
So these are 90s horror movies. It'll be very clear in the graphic.
Like,
but
Chucky?
Let's,
nope.
He was
Nightmare
like,
on Elm
oh,
Street.
Goes, oh, Nightmare on Elm Street.
No.
Nope, 84. All right, so let's we'll go back and forth. We'll start at 5, work our way up to 1, and let's just ping pong back and forth number 5. So that's
number 5.
All right, Billy, what's your number 5 90s horror
movie? All right, number 5 from 1998.
Ooh.
Meets the criteria.
Good year. Yeah, it sure does.
The Faculty.
Good one.
I enjoyed The Faculty movie.
Was great.
Aliens take over a school. We have no idea who the source is, who is the main alien. What do you say?
Spoiler alert.
Oh, sorry. Good point.
So
there we go.
It's all right.
So number 5,
spoiler
The Faculty.
Away. The Faculty, unbelievable cast.
Great cast.
Jordana Brewster.
Yep.
Josh Hartnett. Selma Hayek, Famke Janssen, Chris McDonald, Shooter McGavin.
Exactly.
Usher.
Usher was in it.
John Stewart, Elijah Wood.
Yeah. It was a solid lineup. It was a good movie. You know what I mean? It wasn't your typical like slasher movie, but it was just one of those kind of like why is this going on?
It counts.
Right. Let's find the source of this. Let's end it.
Weird shenanigans at a high school where all the high school actors are in their mid-20s.
And that's the thing, too, is like because that was my end of my high school run was when this movie came out. So it was one of those things where you connect, kind of like the first American Pie.
Oh,
like, we all love the first American Pie because that was when we were wrapping up high school.
Right in our wheelhouse.
But, I got The Faculty at number 5.
All right, my number 5, The Blair Witch Project.
Oof.
And if you remember, that this is something that could never be duplicated just because of the way it was like early internet. Everybody thought this was like a real thing.
Right, more documentary than a movie, right.
And it's kind of sad what happened to this. Like, the actors in this movie are like not in anything else. They didn't get any money to do it. And the movie made so much money.
Literally have nothing to show for it.
They have like nothing. So that part of it's kind of sad. But the movie was wild. And it kind of kickstarted all of like the found footage movies. There's been a lot of movies.
Shaky cams. Your stomach turned, and it was like it was a combination of like fear of not knowing what's going to happen, and just like motion sickness from them running around.
Incredible ending too, and like legitimately scary, especially at the time. So I'm going number 5, The Blair Witch Project.
Number four,
1990, Misery.
Ooh, good one, Bill.
James Caan, Kathy Bates, obsessed fan of James Caan, who is an author.
Yeah,
and then just like the hobbling scene. Like, just so unnecessary, but just so intense.
Kathy Bates.
Right.
She won an Oscar for that, I think.
I think she did. But yeah. I mean, just like the two of them, Kathy Bates, James Caan, it was just a bedroom and two psychos. Like,
that's a good one.
It was a really good one. Really kind of, you know, messed with your head a little bit about how crazy people can actually get.
Very good. I like that one. All right. My number four is 1992's Candyman. Candyman, legitimate, scary as well. Can't say Candyman into the mirror three times. Don't want to be doing any of that.
Well, I can't say it one more time. You already said it twice.
Oh, do you, but do you need a mirror?
Oh. Do I need maybe?
I think it's a mirror. I think you're thinking Beetlejuice rules.
Never too careful.
He will appear.
Like Beetlejuice is three times, but you don't need a mirror. Candyman, I think you need a mirror.
I think you do need a mirror, Nick. I'm in the clear on this. Virginia Madsen, the sister of the late Michael Madsen, tremendous performance. But yeah, this is an all-timer for me.
I don't think I knew they were brother and sister.
How about that? The Madsens.
Learned something.
Yep, not bad. So Candyman, number four.
Number three.
Number three for me, 1996. Fia.
Oh, Mark Wahlberg, Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Mr. Walker.
Nice little psychological thing. And Reese Witherspoon is just this innocent little girl, and Mark Wahlberg comes off all nice. But no, he's a crazy person.
Yeah.
So I went with Fear.
Good one. I didn't even think of that one. That's a good one. All right. I'm going. This is one that gets debated a lot as to whether or not it's a horror movie. I think that it is. I'm going with Seven. I mean, it is very graphic.
Seven!
That's what I think.
That's right. Right. It wasn't an excuse. Joe? Not an excuse to play the drop. As much as we look for one, this one isn't one.
What movie did you just watch, Joe?
Seven!
Yeah, it's great. It's
except you wouldn't be that happy.
You wouldn't be that happy about it.
I don't think you would be.
Yeah, you wouldn't boast that much about it.
No, it's got one of the all-time, like, horrible all-time serial killers killing people with the seven deadly sins. Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman. I love this movie. One of my all-time favorite movies, and I would call it a horror movie.
Right, Morgan Freeman just wanted to retire.
That's it.
It's like, I just want to walk away.
Last day on the job.
No, let's do this.
Like, actually, we're chasing this guy who's killing people in disgusting ways.
Right, remember the room with all the little trees?
That guy wasn't even dead.
I know.
Oh,
right, because he go into the room,
terrifying.
And then he gasps. I'm like, yeah.
They had all the air fresheners.
Yeah, little green trees hanging from the ceiling.
Terrible.
Number two.
My number two was Seven.
Okay, how about that?
There you go.
Seven!
So, yeah, that's right.
My number two is actually one of, if not my favorite movie of all time. And I know normally best is favorite is best, and I have a hard time with this, but I'll explain to you why I have number one. Number two is Scream. Scream's incredible. Scream spawned a whole bunch of sequels after the fact. I loved a horror movie that acknowledged previous horror movies. They didn't really do that in other movies. It's incredibly rewatchable. And good mask, good reveal, great ending. Like all these movies, it might be the GOAT. So that's why I got Scream number two.
Number one
for me is Scream.
Good one.
It's an awesome movie. Like again, it's not just like my favorite horror movie. It's up there in just overall movies.
Yep.
So entertaining. So many like, you know, not a ton of them, but enough to be like, ooh, is it this person? Ooh, is it that person?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Is it the Fonz?
It could be.
Is the Fonz the murderer? And then he gets off.
Nah, it's not him.
God damn.
It's not him.
But yep, Scream, number one.
Great. I have no problem with that. My number one is another movie that some people don't think is horror, but I absolutely think it's horror. That would be 1991's The Silence of the Lambs.
Yep.
You could say psychological thriller, but there's two serial killers in it, and one of them eats people. The other one skins women. That's a horror movie. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, right,
that is 100% a horror movie. We did our hashtag dork podcast top 50 movies of all time, and I voted this number one.
Yep.
So even though Scream is, I like a little bit more.
Oh, you said all.
All-time
movie. All-time movie. Nice.
I put Silence of the Lambs number
right
one.
Right up there. Nice.
Yeah, I think it's the best movie ever. So those two. So real quick, my list, top to bottom, Silence of the Lambs, Scream 7, Candyman, and the Blair Witch Project for 90s horror movies. Billy?
Top to bottom, Scream, Seven, Fear, Misery, The Faculty.
Excellent. Nick, what did we miss?
A ton.
Yeah, well, yeah.
We missed a lot. Army of Darkness I would put on there.
Great one.
I love Army of Darkness.
Uh-huh.
And then you have a bunch of the campy ones, like The First Leprechaun. I'll watch First Leprechaun.
Get out of here, First Leprechaun.
Bad,
this is top
movie.
Five.
No, it's a bad movie, but I like the first
I
one.
I like Urban Legend more than Leprechaun.
Urban Legend I would put on there. That's a
I know
good
what
one.
You did last summer. I actually considered, but I think these five movies were too good.
Yeah, because in the 90s you get all the horrible the sequels from the good 80s ones.
Yeah, Halloween H2O wasn't terrible.
It's not great though.
No, it's not. No. Yeah, but you get like more actually New Nightmare's decent. Wes Craven's New Nightmare's
was
decent.
Was the Psycho shot for shot remake in the 90s?
Probably.
Yeah, with Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds like 98 somewhere in there. Let's see. Sixth Sense on the text line. That's a good one.
It's a good one.
Sixth Sense,
another
I considered.
One.
That was like 99, right? Let's see. Wide Awake, Event Horizon. What else we got? I think we kind of hit. I feel good about our list.
The Psycho with Vince Vaughn was 98.
Yeah, so that qualifies, but I wouldn't have put that on there.
Like, I don't know how I felt about like the scene-for-scene remake.
It's weird. Like, right. Why do it? You put it in color?
Right.
And Vince Vaughn was good in it, but it's
right.
Like,
that was like the best part about Psycho is like it should have been in color, but he didn't put it in color.
No.
Color was a thing at that time, you know?
Let's see.
And you missed I Know What You Did Last Summer.
No, I know. I said I consider that. Disturbing Behavior, Teaching Mrs. Tingle. These are all like the Scream ripoffs after the fact. Oh, Cape Fear. The Robert De Niro Cape Fear.
Oh, that was 90s?
Yeah.
I would have guessed that was late 80s.
That's good. All right.
But even just like Google, like The Craft, like would you consider The Craft? Like it was a good movie, but The Craft
No, I wouldn't put it in top five, but I liked it. I liked that one enough. But you guys can let us know what yours were at Jones and Keefe on both Twitter and Instagram. Actually, you know what? We're going to have to do this. We got Jermaine in East Boston joins us now on one of his favorite topics. Jermaine, what do you think?
The 90s, Jermaine.
Listen, 90s. You guys missed so many horror movies. Billy's list was basically psychological thrillers and sci-fi. And Rich, your list a little bit better.
Thank you.
But what about, I know Nick brought up Army of Darkness, which was very, very good horror movies. Dust Till Dawn,
good one.
Right? I don't know if this, it's kind of a horror, but maybe it could be in the action horror. Blade, 1998.
Oh. Yeah, Blade's good. That's a good one. That probably counts. Yeah.
The remake with the great Candyman in it, Night of the Living Dead, which was horror. I can't put Seven in there. I'm sorry. That is a psychological thriller. And the one question I got to ask before I go is, do sequels not count that came out in the 90s?
They count. Anything that came out in the 90s, it all counts.
Are you putting Scream 2 on there?
Scream 2 is good.
I would say then if you're going to go in that direction, I would have to put in the Freddy movie, The New Nightmare, even though it's technically not.
Oh, we're losing you.
I
would put New Nightmare's good. That one counts. So what's your number one? What's your biggest beef? What's the biggest omission that we had? What's your number one 90s horror movie?
The number one, I would say Scream. I'll go with Scream.
It's tough to argue.
Okay.
I'll give you that one because that is like one of those horror movies because it does pay homage to so many of the horror flicks. I just can't, I
disagree. Hannibal Lecter is one of the great horror villains of all time.
I would go with Nick, Army of Darkness, definitely on that list by far. And my number one would definitely be From Dusk Till Dawn. I appreciate it.
All right.
This is Jermaine in East Boston, and I'm going to get gas.
All right, Jermaine, good luck with that. Appreciate you.
Sick brag, bro.
I mean, Army of Darkness, I love. You could almost, that's more of a comedy than it is anything else.
It's definitely a horror comedy, yeah.
It's a horror comedy. I mean, I say if you think of anything somewhat scary, throw it in the horror
is
camp.
Is Dream Warrior still 80s?
I believe so.
Oh,
yeah.
Late 80s.
Yeah. I believe so. Because New Nightmare was 94, so anything before that I think you might have just missed. But anyway, so he agrees and disagrees with the list. All right, we'll have the Red Sox lineup is out. We'll get to that, and we'll get to some Celtics conversation as Damian Lillard will not be coming to Boston. He is going back to Portland, and we can take your phone calls as well at 617-779-7937. It's Jones and Keefe here on WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball.
Yeah!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.